A very good morning to everyone. The first case on this morning's call is number 023743, Allen against the City of Chicago. Mr. Flaxman.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. Last year, in a case called Reynolds versus City of Chicago, the City of Chicago asserted that the operational needs of its police department justified the race-based promotion of an Hispanic sergeant to lieutenant. The court accepted this rationale and emphasized that an effective police department is especially important in a period of heightened public concern and the dangers posed by international terrorism. 2 weeks ago, the City of Chicago argued a case before a different panel called Pettit versus City of Chicago. And that case involved race-based promotions to the position of sergeant. In that case, City of Chicago began its argument by stating that substantial representation of minorities in the sergeant workforce is critical. City argued it's a critical need for minority supervisors, that diversity is the key to success for a police department, that there is a compelling operational need to have diversity in the sergeant workforce, that diversity is the key for community trust and the effectiveness of the police department, that diversity keeps the city safe, and that the city is safer when the ranks are diverse. Then we come to this case, which is about decreasing diversity in the sergeant workforce. And the city is strangely silent about its operational needs to promote safety in the city. This case arises from the 1998 promotional system used by the City of Chicago to select persons from the police officer rank to be promoted to sergeant. The city chose to use two mechanisms to make these promotions. The first was a written test process. The second was merit selection. The city decided to limit merit selection to 30% of all promotions. The city's expert conceded in other litigation, didn't concede, argued and demonstrated and proved in other litigation that written test selection has the same validity, the same job relatedness as merit selection. And we brought this case and argued in the district court that the city's decision to limit merit selection to 30% had an adverse impact. It was unlawful under Title VII. The written test process had a conceded disparate impact on minorities. Of the minorities made up about 42% of those who applied for promotion. Test score promotions, 76% went to whites and 23% went to minorities. Of the merit promotions, 118 merit promotions, 54% went to white, and 45% went to minority.
What percentage would you propose?
Well, we proposed two different percentages. And let me, the first is that make merit promotions 70% and make test score promotions 30%. The other proposal was to make, which is to eliminate the superintendent's power to decide who gets the merit promotion. That would have not changed anything in the system. That would have resulted in 37% merit promotions. It's certainly an argument can be made that it should be 100% merit promotions. But that's, we're not making
that. How do you get to the 37%?
The system started with 75 supervisors nominating officers for merit promotions. And I think they came up with an average of 3.6. Those 504, I believe, went to what's called an academic selection board, which reviewed everybody's files and called the number down to, I believe, about 200-something. That if all of those people were promoted, if all the people who cleared the merit selection board, the academic selection board, were promoted to receive merit promotions, we'd have 37%. The city, though, didn't promote everybody who got through the academic selection board, they allowed the superintendent final say over who would be promoted and who would not be promoted through merit selection. That's what winnowed it down to the 100 and so of us that made the promotion. We proposed eliminating the superintendent's power to select who should be, to select from among those who have been approved for merit promotion. The city's expert who sought to validate the merit selection proposal didn't have any justification for including the superintendent. I think it's clear he was included for political reasons rather than for test validity reasons. And if we eliminated him, we'd have 37% minority promotions. If we eliminated him and told each of the 75 superintendents, well, instead of nominating 1 to 5 officers, nominate 7 officers, that would give us the 70% merit promotions. The city's argument is that, well, the supervisors are quite capable of selecting 5, but if we ask them to select the 7 best performers, we don't think they can do that. That's too many.
Well, isn't that based on some kind of a theory that there are just a limited number of natural leaders in any group, and you've got to, you can't go through the whole group and decide who the natural leaders are. They're a limited number.
We're talking about each of the 75 choosing from a pool of about 130. And the difference between choosing 5 out of 130 or choosing 7 out of 130 is too precise to say that there's with any degree of reliability or certainty that these 5 are better than these other 2.
Now, what you end up with 70%, you say, with that approach.
You end up with 70% by increasing it from 5 out of 130 to 7 out of 130. That's still less than 10% of the highest performers, which is really... Your ability to make those kind of distinctions is unreasonable exactitude by saying they can pick 5, but they can't pick 7. I'd agree that they can't pick 65 or they can't pick 130, but they can certainly pick, they can pick 5, they can pick 7. They can pick the top 10%. But and if we're talking about this operational need, this need to have a representative workforce, then the city can't be using these written tests to the extent that they're using them. The city argued in Pettit that we have to look at the population of the city of Chicago, and what we really want is for the sergeant workforce to mirror the population of the city of Chicago. Well, city of Chicago is now about 31% white. The sergeant workforce is about 72% white. And that's not, those numbers aren't converging by the 30% limitation, the 30% ceiling on merit promotions. The framework, I think, is familiar to the court. There's the plaintiff shows a disparate impact. The employer shows that the system, the job selection system, is job-related, and then the plaintiff can then show it's an equally valid and discriminatory alternative. The evidence that the city came forward with to show that there was validity for the 30% limitation, the 30% ceiling, is virtually non-existent. The 30% ceiling came about because it was recommended by a Blue Ribbon Commission. That Blue Ribbon Commission didn't have any basis for doing that except that it seemed like that would be a good number. I think that Title VII should require more than just political expediencies when an employer chooses between 2 equally valid methods of selecting.
Well, what basis do you have for the 70%? And why is there any better basis for that than 30%?
Well,
that's the number you pulled out of the air.
It's the number I proposed, and my argument is that if they can pick 5, they can pick 7. And I was willing to stop at 70%. I think it's certainly reasonable for an employer to say that there are people that we should promote who do well on written tests, and there are people who we promote who we think will do well as sergeants. And I propose that they flip them around. I mean, certainly the argument can be made that they should be doing everything through merit selection if it's equally valid. And that would not require a much greater increase in the number of people selected by the 75 high-ranking supervisors. But the argument here is not that, I don't think it's our burden to come forward with a particular plan just to show that there is a plan that's equally valid and let the employer decide how they want to do it. And I think we've shown that increasing the number above 40 would result in a system that's equally valid, whether it's the 37% or the 70%. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flaxman. We'll hear now from Ms. Layton.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. Traditionally, the city has made promotions in the Chicago Police Department on the basis of written and oral examination. In 1998, in response to the recommendations of a mayoral task force, the city decided to give greater responsibility to supervisors to evaluate their subordinates for promotion. And so the city made 30% of its promotions on the basis of the merit process. That's a process in which the candidates are first required to pass a written qualifying test, and then their supervisors determine who among them shows the most exemplary record of performance. Now, plaintiffs are so enamored with this innovation that they would have the city not limit merit promotions to 30%, but to increase it to some other unspecified percent. This is one of those cases in which the burden of proof is dispositive. Plaintiffs have the burden after the city has shown that an examination such as this one, which is facially neutral, and the city has proven that this examination is both job-related and consistent with the business needs of the city. Congress placed the burden on the plaintiffs then to come forward when they seek to invalidate such an examination and to prove, not just to speculate, that an alternative method of promotion would be both equally valid and have less disparate impact. If plaintiffs could simply speculate that another percentage, 70%, 35%, 40%, would also be valid, then it would be almost impossible for an employer to avoid Title VII liability. Plaintiffs have failed to meet their burden in this case, and summary judgment was appropriately granted for the city as a result. Now, subclass B speaks...
So as far as you're concerned, this was a burden of proof case.
Exactly, Your Honor, exactly. They had the burden placed upon them to demonstrate not just that there's an alternative that's workable. Mr. Flaxman was discussing 5 versus 7. It would be just as easy to make 7 promotions, merit promotions, as it would to make 5.
Okay.
However...
No real dispute on the law at all, is there, between you and your colleague?
Well, there is a dispute to the extent that Mr. Flaxman was discussing the operational needs of the city. While we concede that there is an operational need for diversity in the police department, in the cases Mr. Flaxman was discussing, we were using operational needs as a defense to our affirmative action promotion.
That's still really a very fact-bound issue, isn't it? You just disagree on the most probable way of meeting that operational need.
Exactly, Your Honor. They needed to come forward with evidence to show that an alternative to what the city did is equally valid and less discriminatory. We validated the merit process only with respect to how it was actually implemented in the 1998 exam. In other words, we validated the process with a 30% limit in place and with the written qualifying test as a screening mechanism. Now, there's simply no evidence in the record, and plaintiffs have come forth with no evidence, that a different percentage would be equally valid. The only validation that was performed was to show 30% was acceptable. They speculate another percentage would be okay, but they don't offer any evidence of it. And in fact, the evidence in the record from our expert, Dr. Morton McPhail, was that as the number of merit promotions increases, it becomes more and more difficult to select qualified candidates, and therefore the merit process runs into real problems with its validity. It's a subjective evaluation. It's a process unlike a written rank order exam in which you can be confident that the person who scored a 177 did better than the person who scored a 176. In contrast, the merit process is a subjective evaluation. So while you can be confident that a supervisor is capable of selecting a few of its top performers, you can't be confident that when that supervisor goes to evaluate the middle range, that the supervisor will accurately select somebody who's a better performer.
That principle applies to the selection of 7 as against 5 that Mr. Flaxman was talking about.
Well, I would like to address the 7 versus 5 because Mr. Flaxman is misstating, actually, the record. The record is that supervisors were allowed to choose up to 5 candidates depending on the size of their chain of command. So if they had a small chain of command, perhaps they'd be limited to 1. Or if they had a larger chain of command, 2 or 3 or 4. Not every sergeant was a supervisor was allowed to select 5.
How many were there in that smaller range?
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor. I don't believe the record is contained in the record.
I mean, that'd make a difference. If there were only 2 or 3 small chains of command and the rest were large, it wouldn't make any difference.
That's correct, Your Honor. I don't know the answer to that question because the record doesn't speak to that. But what is clear is that making 5 promotions that, excuse me, when you make a limited number of promotions, it is clear that you are able to select your best performance without running into the possibility that you will have to differentiate between candidates who fall into the middle range. And Dr. Morton McPhail testified that as the number of merit promotions increases considerably, and in this case they're asking for up to 70% of the promotions to be made on the basis of merit, that there's a real risk that the candidates selected will not in fact be better performers than the candidates perhaps who weren't selected. And so there is evidence that there's a risk to the validity by increasing the merit promotion. It was plaintiff's burden to come forward with evidence to prove it would be as valid. It wasn't the city's burden to prove it wouldn't be as valid.
With respect to the selection process on the so-called merit-based promotions, how did you check to ensure that the interviewers, the selectors, were not biased in terms of the racial or ethnic background of the candidate?
All the supervisors who were charged with making recommendations for nominees for the merit process received training in avoiding biases in their way of thinking, in other words, in assessing candidates, and an attempt was made to instruct them to avoid racial and gender and ethnic biases in making their selection process. They were given an assessment domain, a list of the relevant characteristics that the merit component was seeking to test, and they were asked to fill out a detailed form in which they would have to evaluate the people they were nominating on each of those assessment dimensions. So there was also, because they were only asked to limit to nominate their best performers, and in fact they didn't have to make any recommendations if they didn't feel that they had people to recommend, they were actually held responsible for the people they nominated. And so they were motivated to give detailed and accurate recommendations. If they were forced, on the other hand, to nominate 7 people, no matter whether or not they felt there were 7 people they could nominate, then the problem that Dr. McPhail discussed start to show. They start to become...
Did those individuals have any idea as to how their candidates had fared on the written part of the examination?
They only were allowed to select for nomination those people who passed the written qualifying test. However,
that universe, did they know who had done better than others?
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor. Not to my knowledge. They only knew that they passed the basic test of job knowledge necessary to perform the sergeant's position. So that's the claims of Subclass B. With respect to Subclass A, they seek to eliminate the written qualifying test as a screening mechanism altogether. They ask that the city simply promote on the basis of merit from a pool of everybody and not limit it to just those who pass the written qualifying test. So again, they had the burden to come forth with evidence that would demonstrate that eliminating this test for job knowledge would result in a promotional process that is as valid as the process the city actually used. But not only did they not have any evidence that that was true, there's also Dr. McPhail's opinion to the contrary, that by eliminating the written qualifying test, you're eliminating a test for job knowledge, and therefore you would be eliminating one segment of testing for what's important to the sergeant's position. And plaintiffs concede that the merit process standing alone does not test for job knowledge in the way that the written qualifying exam tests for job knowledge. So by eliminating this written qualifying test as a method of screening, in essence, there's a real risk that the process won't be as valid because people could be promoted who would have failed the written qualifying test, which by definition means that they lack the job knowledge necessary to perform the sergeant's position. So again, plaintiffs have the burden here to demonstrate that the exam, which is facially neutral and which is proven to be job-related and consistent with business necessity, is in fact that if they seek to invalidate such an exam, that they in fact have an alternative that in comparison is equally valid. And having come forth with no evidence that that's the case, they simply can't satisfy their burden of proof. Congress wanted to make sure that employers weren't forced to invalidate or throw out an examination such as this one simply because plaintiffs speculate that there's an alternative that would work too. So, in sum, unless there's any further questions, I would just simply request that this court affirm the judgment of the district court.
Thank you, Ms. Slade.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You have 5 minutes, Mr. Flaxman.
The question that arises from the city's argument is how do plaintiffs, or what were plaintiffs required to do in the city's view to show that something is equally valid as something else? If the court had adopted or had been enforcing a validation requirement which required empirical evidence, required some data to show that there's a relationship between test scores and job performance, then plaintiffs would be required to come forward with that same kind of evidence. However, in Bryant versus City of Chicago, the court said, we don't need empirical data to show a relationship between test scores and job performance. All we need is reasonableness. And I disagreed with that. I argued against it, and the court adopted its standard. The Bryant standard, is very easy for an employer to meet to show that a written test is valid. The court should be even-handed and apply a similar reasonableness standard to a plaintiff who's trying to show that an alternative selection procedure is equally valid. If, however, the court disagrees with the Bryant standard, it should limit that case to its particular facts and let us go back to the district court to challenge the written test again. When this case was originally filed, it was a challenge to the entire test, to the written test, to the assessment center element. After the Bryant decision, it was clear that we could not sustain a challenge to the written test and to the assessment exercise. And we gave that up. We abandoned that. We conceded that under the Bryant standard, the test is job-related. The Bryant standard should also be applied to us and to our arguments that going from an average of 3.6 selections for merit promotion to 6 or 7 per the 75 people who make selections is also reasonable when each on the average you have 130 to pick from.
What do you say about the argument of the city of walk before you run? This is the first time this approach has been tried. Why go all out the first time out?
Well, you know, it's not the first time it's been tried. This is the first time that this type of assessment exercise was used to promote people to sergeant. And the city's expert said, well, it's been used in other settings, similar tests have been used in other settings, so it'll probably be okay here. Under the Bryan standard, that's okay. The city's expert submitted a report in other litigation set talking about how subjective measures have always been used in industry to make promotions, and the research shows that subjective measures are just as valid as written tests. The city started using merit selection in 1989 to make selections for a detective. The city, when there was a city, tried to use them in 94 to make selections for lieutenant, and there was a problem with the state court saying that was illegal, and this court, the district court, eventually said you have to make merit promotions to lieutenant. Those promotions have worked out fine. There's never been any suggestion that the people, the merit promotees, weren't able to do their job. The city talks about walk but don't run, but that might be plausible if there was a research program in place to see how well these folks are doing. There is none. The city took that 30%, I think, because they wouldn't get a lot of political flack from saying 70%. It would just be politically unacceptable for them to go higher. And I think this is like the Alabama syndrome, where the court has to order the city to do what's required rather than wait for the city to do it themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flaxman. Indeed, our thanks both to Mr. Flaxman and Ms. Layton for the very fine presentations this morning. The case will be taken under advisement.